May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in His holy word. Let us turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, and we'll read from verse 22 to verse 25. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, reading from verse 22 to 25. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. It's good that we have a testimony like this recorded, that the Apostle Paul spoke to the ship's company, all those 200 odd souls that were aboard that ship. He told them what God had spoken to him and how God had appeared to him. And it was, of course, a time of great need. They'd been 14 days facing this great storm, referred to here as Euroclydon. We would call it a typhoon or a hurricane. But there was, of course, in those days no warnings like we have with satellite navigation that tells us when things are occurring. But here they would have suddenly come into this terrible storm, and they were obviously in peril of their lives. It was no easy matter. But we find that the Apostle Paul was able to pray unto God. And what a blessing that is. And we're told, and after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Clearly, there had been that time of abstinence, that time of prayer, earnest prayer, that God would appear for them. We might be tempted to think, well, of course, it was the Apostle Paul and the Lord would appear anyway. Well, we should never forget that the Lord has said, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things. And it is always an encouragement when Almighty God hears our prayers and sends answers to our prayers. And then indeed we can rejoice and praise Him for hearing and answering prayer. And so we are told here, as the Apostle says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. Well, we don't know whether it was a physical angel or whether it was a vision, or whatever it was, but in one sense it's not important. The great truth was that to the Apostle Paul there was this appearance. And this appearance was wonderful because it had a message for him. And that was indeed a very wonderful and a very glorious message, saying, Fear not, Paul. Well, our lives, I'm sure, are such that there are times, situations, which develop, perhaps which appear to be on the horizon, which we fear. And what a mercy it is to hear a word from God like this. Fear not. And it was addressed to Paul personally. Fear not, Paul. thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So there we have, you see, a clear statement of God's goodness and mercy, not only to the Apostle Paul, but to all that were sailing with him. It was indeed an amazing answer to his prayer. We should not think, though, that of course such prayers are not answered today. Our God still rules and reigns. He is exactly the same. And our God does still hear and answer prayer. But we mustn't forget what we were told, which I referred to, that it was after much a long abstinence that the apostle found the answer. It wasn't just a casual prayer. It wasn't just a few words. It would seem that it was a substantial time that he was taken up with seeking for God's mercy and for God's favour. And of course we have here a very physical instance, don't we? But as we know, the word of God is written for our spiritual understanding. And as the true believer journeys along on the voyage of life, there are times of tempests. There are times when it's very tempestuous. And there are times when perhaps these tempests don't just come and go, they remain. And it seems as though there's going to be no let up. And we face them day after day. Well, if that is so in our lives, and you know whether that's so in your life, whether you're in a state of a tempest, and it may be really fierce, because this was a very fierce storm that the apostle was caught up in. And yet, what had occurred previously? Well, it seemed all nice and calm when the south wind blew softly. Sometimes in our lives, the scene seems very smooth, nice and soft, nice and easy. And yet you see, here we're told, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. The Lord knows what is needful in our lives. We are told that our life will never be, the Christian's life will never be, one of ease and one of comfort and one of, we might say, sailing, but with a smooth south wind blowing pleasantly. Oh no, there will be these times of difficulty and storms, tempestuous wind, which threatens to cause shipwreck. You may say, well, what relevance has that in my spiritual life? Well, if the storms sometimes are very fierce, we may be tempted almost to give up, to throw overboard our religion, thinking it's of no value. The storm gets very fierce. And we're told when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. So they had a plan, they had a journey. The ship was on that course, they couldn't keep to it. Maybe so in our lives. We may have a course. It may be before us. We find the storm comes. We can't keep to it. We have to give up. And here we're told, we let her drive. In spiritual language, that really means casting all our care upon the Lord, resting in His will and purpose for us, giving up. our plans, giving up our direction. And so here was the apostle on aboard this ship, no land in sight, couldn't see anything, no sun, no moon, darkness, and a storm, and a tempestuous storm. So naturally, it wasn't a very pleasant time, was it? And sometimes in our spiritual life, it might be like that. It looks all pleasant, everything seems to be going smoothly. And then the storm clouds come, and darkness develops, and we can't see the way, day nor night. And it continues, and it gets worse, and the waves are tempestuous, and we wonder where the sea will end. Well, what did the apostle do? We're thankful we have such a case, such an example, because they did everything naturally. And we perhaps in our lives may do everything naturally, and we find it's not successful. Because we're told here they did much work to come by the boat. When they had taken up, they used helps and undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strike sail, and so were driven, and were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day they lightened the ship, and the third day they cast out with their own hands the tackling of the ship. Naturally speaking, they did everything, but it wasn't successful. And again, in our spiritual life, sometimes we may try this and we may try that. We think, well, if I get rid of that and get rid of the other, things will surely ease and surely be better. Well, they weren't in this case. And it may be so in our spiritual lives. Things may not get better. They may get worse. And in that worse condition, then you see that they said, and when neither sun nor stars or many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Yes, there seemed to be no hope. Well, that was a pretty grim condition, wasn't it? It was a very serious place. Sometimes it might be like that in our spiritual life. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But we see in the life here of the Apostle Paul, he was blessed with prevailing prayer. And it wasn't just an instant answer. Sometimes we might think we're going to get an instant answer. Well, that's why we have such an example like this. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth and was able to tell the people on the ship that God had appeared to him in a very singular way. And it wasn't perhaps in the way that he wanted, perhaps not the way he expected, because we're told after long abstinence Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." You see, Paul gave good wisdom, but no, the centurion and the captain didn't want to take the advice, and therefore they found themselves now in this great storm. If they'd stayed where they were, they would have been all right. But no, they ventured forward, and there was this terrible condition. And so we're told The apostle reminds them, and he says, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me." It wasn't said with a harsh voice. It's just a kindly statement. "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." How could there be of good cheer? Maybe in the midst of this great storm. They'd lightened the boat and lost much of it. How could they be of good cheer? Well, the apostle's confidence was in his God. And that's a great blessing. To have our confidence in our God. And so he says, "I exhort you." A real concern. And they would now listen to what he was going to tell them. "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship." There would be loss. There would be serious loss. But their lives would be spared. And that's a great blessing, isn't it? We may lose perhaps something which may appear to be essential. How are they going to carry on? They're going to lose the ship. How are they going to be saved? How are they not going to be lost? Well, just remember, God's ways are higher than our ways. They were in the occasion here with the Apostle Paul. There was no doubt about it. God had appeared to the apostle, and therefore he was able to speak to them with a humble confidence and say, "There shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Well, in one sense, the ship was only just that vehicle to transport them. The great blessing was their life would be spared. And in a spiritual way, how important that is, that our spiritual life, the life of our soul, is spared. We don't lose our spiritual life. We may lose other things, but not our spiritual life. And so he tells them, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." You know, it was good to have a good religion, a religion that he was blessed with a humble confidence, and he was able to tell these people, "I serve the Lord God. My hope is based on him. I believe in what he has said and what he will do. Whose I am and whom I serve." Well, the apostle was serving Almighty God. The apostle Paul had prayed to Almighty God. Almighty God had heard his prayers and had appeared to him through this angel and told him what would happen. And now he was able to tell the people of the message that he'd received. And what was the message? "Fear not. Fear not." That's good, isn't it? What a good word that is. And of course, I'm sure we know there are many wonderful "fear nots" in the Word of God for our encouragement, for our the strengthening of our faith. And Isaiah speaks to us, and he says in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. That's the secret, really, isn't it? Yes, to go in the strength of Almighty God, to cast all our care upon Him. And so he says this, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. What a blessing, what a favour, what a mercy. And he goes on, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, the Apostle Paul was precious in the sight of his God, and all the saints are precious in the Lord's sight. Thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. Well, there we have a wonderful statement of the Lord's goodness and mercy to the apostle, sorry, to the prophet, and also to the Apostle Paul, which we should be very thankful for. And then in a slightly earlier chapter, the 41st chapter and the 10th verse, we read, fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed. It's easy to be dismayed. I'm sure the Apostle Paul was dismayed on that ship. And yet you see, the Lord encouraged him with a fear not. And it's good, isn't it, the Lord comes. We might be dismayed. The situation may be very desperate. The way may be very rough. The storm may be very great. And yet you see, if God be for us, who can be against us? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's good, isn't it, to have such a God? It's good, isn't it, to have such wonderful promises as this to encourage us. And so many faithful and positive fear nots. We travel through the wilderness. There are many times of temptation. There are many times of opposition as we journey on. And when the storm appears to be very severe, and it all seems to be against us, nothing seems to be in our favour, yes, everything seems to be in opposition, and yet to receive such an encouraging word like the apostle received here from God via the angel, fear not, Paul, fear not. And there was a reason. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and though God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. That was a great promise, wasn't it? They lose the ship. They didn't know how that would happen. They didn't know how that would be, how they would be saved. But God had told them they would be. And he therefore says, as we began in this earlier 22nd verse, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Good cheer. There's no evidence of any relief. There's no evidence of any escape from this storm. It looks as though we're going to be shipwrecked. Be of good cheer. Yes, be of good cheer, because God had spoken to the apostle. Because God had promised the apostle. And therefore, the apostle was able to make a statement like that. And then, having told them what was going to happen, he again repeats this. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer in the midst of the storm. It's a mercy, isn't it? In the midst of the difficult situation, with the appearance of a certain shipwreck, appears to be no hope of deliverance, yet to be of good cheer. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. And he had reason to be able to make this statement. For I believe God. Yes, his faith was in God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that glorious? To have faith in God. And to believe in God. And to believe that God, Almighty God, would appear and grant deliverance. It seemed impossible. But no, God was with the apostle. And therefore he was able to make this declaration. For I believe in God that it shall be even as it was told me. He had a humble confidence in his God. And my friends today, may you and I have a humble confidence in our God. When everything appears to be against us. Remember, we might be very fearful. Remember the fear nots in the Word of God. We've just referred to two. There are many, many fear nots in the Word of God to encourage the Church of God as they journey on. But you see, in order for those fear nots to be fulfilled, there was the calling upon the name of the Lord. That wasn't just a carrying on in a blind way, as it were. No, there was a carrying on with a confirmation that God was with them and that God would save them, although they would lose the ship. And that's a mercy, isn't it? You see, our souls are so valuable. What a blessing it is when God comes and encourages us that we shall be safe and we shall be saved and we will not be lost. We may have done everything we can to try and sort things out and make the journey a bit easier, but no. The Lord has a way. The Lord has a way of deliverance. And the Lord's way is the best way. Because the best way brings honour and glory to God. You know, as you and I think of this account, it's a very wonderful account, isn't it, really? Because first of all, that which was fulfilled, they all came safe to land. They all came safe to land. And of course, it wasn't any old island that God directed that boat to come towards. It was an island where God would appear and God would do great things. You see, it wasn't only a deliverance which was going to be achieved. It was the conversion of souls. And it was the evidence that God indeed was with them and following them. You can read the details in the 28th chapter. And it's wonderful really to read how these things worked out for good. As the apostle was able to speak when he wrote to the Romans and tell the church at Rome from personal experience, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. What? Paul, to endure such a terrible storm and such a terrible shipwreck? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The Lord was with them. The Lord didn't leave the apostle. The Lord was with him, although all those people didn't take any notice of what he said. Yet God was with him, and God brought about a wonderful deliverance. So think of that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, you see, the devil no doubt thought that he'd got the victory. He was causing this great shipwreck, which he thought would occur, and no doubt all of those would be lost. But the Lord had better and greater plans. And my friends, today we have the same God. The same God who has better plans for us. He takes us in hand and directs us safely through the storm of life. The storms, the plural, the storms, but sometimes there comes perhaps an especially acute storm which really threatens shipwreck. No, fear not. God will bring about a deliverance. God will bring about safety. God will bring about a wonderful blessing. And so what a mercy it is if we are able to have that confidence in our God. I believe the Apostle Paul had that confidence in his God. And yet, you see, it didn't mean that he wouldn't need to pray. It didn't mean that he only had to pray a casual prayer. And it's spoken here, isn't it? After long abstinence. In our spiritual lives sometimes, it may be like that, and we perhaps foolishly think, well, it's going to be easy, this is. Everything's going to come to pass. I needn't really worry, because the captain and the centurion, so this is the best way, and therefore everything's going to work out well. No, the Apostle Paul was moved by the Spirit of God to tell them that this wouldn't work out well. But you see, they ignored that advice. What a mercy it is that we see the Lord here not only having mercy upon Paul, which the Lord could have done, could have just saved Paul, and all the others could have been lost, but the Lord in his great mercy saved the whole crew and all the prisoners. And as we read in that last verse, and it's a beautiful verse, isn't it? And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship, all different ways as they got to land. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And so it came to pass that which God had revealed to the apostle came to pass. What a mercy in our little lives. If things which God has spoken to us and encouraged us in and blessed us with faith to believe that those things which he has spoken would come to pass for our good, for our eternal good, and for his honour and for his glory. A blessing to think that we worship this same God today. In our spiritual life, we may have much to oppose. The devil will oppose. The devil will say, there's no hope for you. This storm is going to wreck your faith. This storm is going to wreck your religion. You won't come through it. Doesn't matter what you do, how you try and relieve yourself, it won't happen. But don't forget, if God is on our side, as God was on Paul's side, there was a wonderful deliverance. You say the devil tries. He tries to cause havoc. He tries to cause distress. He tries to cause shipwreck. But What a mercy if our confidence is in God, that he will indeed come and deliver us and bring us out into perhaps a wealthy place. We can't claim and say, well, I deserve that. We don't at all, especially here, all these people on the boat, we didn't deserve any mercy. And yet God was gracious. God was compassionate. Isn't it wonderful to think of that in our little lives, in our spiritual lives? It may be that we're tossed about. And maybe the storm's getting worse. How is there going to be any deliverance? Well, first of all, long abstinence. Prayer to God. Don't expect just something to suddenly appear. Long abstinence. The apostle was able to say, and it's really good to be able to read these words, that he's able to come and testify, for there stood by me this night. Yes, in the middle of the darkest time, the Lord came. And the Lord spoke to the apostle at night. The darkest time. The Lord chooses to often come at the darkest time to bring spiritual relief to our souls. When there seems perhaps to be no hope, no possibility of deliverance, remember such an occasion as this. The Lord knew what he would do. Wonderful that, isn't it? See, God knows what he would do. You and I don't know, do we? We just see the present. We just see the storm. We just have to face the storm. We have to endure the storm. And yet, you see, there was to be a wonderful deliverance. A wonderful deliverance. Fear not. There will be a good end. Fear not. I've told you, there will be deliverance. Fear not. And so the apostle was able to have his confidence in his God and to declare what God would do. Yes, God came to the apostle, and the apostle was able therefore to come and to declare what God would do. He said he stood forth in the midst of them, in the midst of that crew. You can imagine it on deck probably, with the waves crashing over the ship. And yet, you see, there he stood firm in the belief that his God would indeed appear. And so he stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life." What a blessing. No loss of our spiritual life. Not cast out. Not cast overboard. No loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Well, that wasn't of any real value. It had a natural value, but it wasn't of any eternal value. It was just that which was a useful instrument in taking them from one place to another. But their life was very valuable. My friend, so it is with our spiritual life. It's very valuable. It's very valuable. What a mercy, therefore, if God is dealing with us, remembering us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. The apostle was blessed with that visit from the Lord. And my friends, in our spiritual life, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of the night, what a blessing it will be if the Lord comes and speaks to our soul with such glorious words, "I am thy salvation." So we can come and say, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." We may have to go down into the depths to come to such a realization, to come to such an acknowledgement, to be able to come and testify, "The Lord was mindful of me. The Lord was gracious to me. The Lord didn't cast me off as I deserved. No, his love was toward me." And so the apostle says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." There was the evidence of deliverance. There was the promise of deliverance. The deliverance didn't come straight away. Faith is to be tried, and faith is to be tested. We only have to read the Word of God for the evidence of that. Some extreme cases, like Abraham in having to offer up Isaac. Extreme cases. But faith was given. And faith was given to the Apostle Paul here to declare how deliverance would come. They would be safe. They would be safe. And he was able to tell them that the angel of the Lord had come to him at night and told them, and told him, saying very simply, "Fear not, Paul. Fear not, Paul." And isn't that wonderful? If you and I perhaps are very fearful of the storm which we're passing through, and we think perhaps we'll make shipwreck, we'll never get safe to land, "Fear not," says the Word of God, "thou must be brought before Caesar." There was work for Paul still to do. There was a testimony that he still had to give. And therefore, although this was a very trying and testing journey, the Lord would bring them safely through. "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and though God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." Well, I hope you and I believe God. We may perhaps have been tempted not to believe God. We may have been tempted to throw up our faith, to throw it overboard. Well, let us have our confidence in our God. "I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." He was recalling what God had told him. He wasn't making up a story. He wasn't pretending something was going to happen that he didn't know about. God had spoken to him, and he was confident in the result. And so he then just goes on to tell them, "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." He didn't know what the island was. God did. "But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight," the shipmen deemed they drew near to some country. Well, again, it was the middle of the night, midnight, the darkest time. when there was an apparent hope, they seemed to be getting nearer to land, some little hope. You see, they had the evidence, they found it, and found it 20 fathoms and then 15 fathoms. Yes, there was the evidence now. They were getting towards land. And yet there was still the unknown. They still didn't know what would happen. And of course, as we read through this account, we know what happened. They ran aground. The ship broke in two. Surely there's going to be loss of life now. No. They all got safe to land. The Lord appeared. The Lord fulfilled his promise. My friends, to us today, what a blessing in our spiritual life if we have a hope in his mercy toward us. And he will not deal with us as our sins deserve, but he may reveal himself unto us as our glorious Saviour, and our hope is centered not what we've done, but on what Jesus Christ has done in his great salvation, in that glorious death upon the cross at Calvary, that we are found then not looking to ourselves, not looking to a natural deliverance, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes, what a blessing it is to have such a good hope and to be able to trust in the Lord. And we have those wonderful words in the second verse in the 12th chapter of the Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Yes, there will be crosses, there will be storms, which will be called for to endure, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. That's the place of rest. Consider him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when we think of such an account as this, let us consider the Lord Jesus Christ, what he endured in order that we might be eternally saved. And may our hope be built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. So, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that serve.